Blog Talk Radio.
Into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing discussing Hip Hop Beyond the Music featuring S. Frosty. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeens@blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here on the archives on blogtalkradio.com/109-9pinstation. Always check out our fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/conversationswiththequeens@blogspot.com. All right, conversationswiththequeens@blogspot.com as well. All right, so before we get into everything, I would like to open up with our monthly yoga pose. And the monthly yoga pose for the month of August is the garland pose. It's a great rejuvenative pose, and it stretches the ankles, the groin, the back, the torso, and tones the belly. It's a really, really great yoga pose. And if you are interested in learning how to get into that pose, you can check it out on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. Our weekly affirmation for this week is, I am a limitless universe of abundant and prosperous consciousness. I manifest greatness and my highest intentions with ease. I break down all barriers holding me back from my own greatness. Ashe. And you can check out so many more affirmations just like that one, again, on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. All right, everybody, we have one major announcement before we get into the show, and it is a really, really big one. All right, so we are making a move. This will be our last show on the Poetic Energy Network station. It's been a great run. We've been running the show here for exactly 2 years. About right now. So it's been a great run. We've loved every moment of it, and we appreciate the platform, of course. Much love and much respect for Michelle Alford, who put this whole thing together. But we're moving on up, and we're going to be broadcasting from blogtalkradio.com/Aleem Bay starting September 9th. Monday, September 9th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure that if you want to keep up with Conversations with the Queen, you either visit our many websites or you go to blogtalkradio.com/Aleem Bay, because that's where we will be having our future shows. So thank you all for tuning in this week. Without any further ado, I'm going to bring on this week's guest. Frosty, are you on the line?
Yeah, peace and greetings, Queen Frosty here. How you doing?
Peace. How are you?
I can't complain. It's a beautiful summer night. Can't complain.
Yes.
How
yes.
are you?
Wish I could say the same. It is raining outside.
Oh, yeah, Boston. Right?
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Let my listeners know a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, cool. I go by S. Frosty. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, born and raised there, West Philly stand-up. I'm the Creative Connector. I create events and programs for youth and adults, community and education bases. I like to bring people together through the projects I work in or create to socialize more, to familiarize more, and to learn and enrich each other. I do a lot of things that deal in entertainment, connectivity, arts, and culture, like booking artists. I'm a professional stage host. I do lighting and sound. If it deals with events affairs, I have some hand in it and some things I have expertise in. But I'm just generally a creative connector who really loves arts and culture and youth affairs.
Awesome. So hip-hop, beyond the music, a culture and ethnicity. So what are we talking about pretty much this week? What is? Because I know some people might be like, what? Give our listeners a little bit of insight as to what we're going to be breaking down on the show this week.
I definitely feel you on the mm-hmm. what. I was talking to a few folks about this topic and about the show coming up, and they were like, well, you know, I can't wait to hear this. So basically, you know, everybody, I'm 25, and you're about the same age, right?
I'm 21, second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't put extra years on a woman's age.
I understand. So basically, in our age group, and really for the past 40 years, of people who've been alive in an urban area for the past, besides being black, and besides the groups of poor people in the country, besides the groups of urban people, we all share something in common, and globally, and amongst these age groups of people who are, you know, about literally 15 to like the age of 50, something that we actually all share. Is either a love for hip hop or hip hop culture pervades our own subcultures. So no matter where you are, Keras once said recently in a lecture in Amsterdam, which I rewatched today just to refresh myself. I really look up to the guy. He said that hip hop, and he said that basically a large majority of the population of the earth. He's talking like four billion out of 7 billion people live in urban areas. And that because of the new age of media, because of the new age and styles of oppression, and hip-hop being a music and a culture that pop out of the ages of oppression, what's going on now, that hip-hop culture is something that's binding people together, but also whether they know they're bound together or not, it's something that's being expressed in every urban area, and beyond, of course, but specifically every urban area around the entire world, whether you're in, you know, Hong Kong, Tokyo, New York, Paris, you know. And what I'm basically putting forth, I'm not the first person to do this, but it's something I'm interested in, is that hip-hop can be posed as an ethnicity, and not simply something to put down onto a census sheet or onto something, you know, too Western or structured professionalized, but something we can express ourselves through, and also we can lobby with each other and others in and in outside of politics and business with. Hip-hop is an ethnicity is what I say.
Okay, awesome. So, I mean, let's start with, like, the basics. I mean, I'm pretty sure we all know hip-hop music, but what is hip-hop?
Okay, hip-hop, that in itself is a loaded question. Well, I'll put it like this. Most people have heard about what the four elements of hip-hop are, which is b-boying, emceeing, graffiti, and DJing. But, of course, there's the fifth element, which is popularized by the Universal Zulu Nation. And that's knowledge, culture, and overstanding. And, of course, you know, as the opinions of many would say for this current era of music on the mainstream radio, that we've kind of lost touch with that in the mainstream of the fifth element of knowledge, culture, and overstanding. That's what hip-hop is. Hip-hop is the culture of the urban people, you know, especially from the East Coast of America. It's worldwide now, but, you know, where it began was the Upper East Coast of America and New York. It's the culture that's spraying out of the music that includes these elements. It is what we live.
Definitely. So how does hip hop extend beyond music?
Man, that in itself is another great question. just like every other culture, and just to basically run over this real fast, so we can understand exactly what I mean by a culture or an ethnicity. And this is something that's straight off of Wikipedia, because, I mean, I was sitting here trying to figure out the best way to express what ethnicity is, an ethnic group. And, you know, they had a good version. Webster's had a good version, whatever. But I found this one, and I'm going to just read this really quickly and then go into why I believe hip-hop fits into this. An ethnicity or an ethnic group is a socially defined category. These categories may be based on common cultural heritage, shared ancestry, history, homeland, language, or dialect, and possibly other aspects such as religion, mythology, and ritual, cuisine, how you dress, and your physical appearance. And as we all know very well around this world, around this this country, hip-hop fits into all of that. There's literally a few different actual categorized religions that are actually called hip-hop in America right now and around the world. So it fits into these things, you know. And basically, an ethnicity being something or a culture being something that you live, but it can also look back on, that has generations of traditions, values, and rituals. Hip-hop definitely has that. The very elements of hip-hop in itself, the DJing, the dancing, the way of life, the jargon, you know, it in itself is a lived culture. It's something people identify with more than most people identify with their own traditional families' cultures. You know, you can, of course, have more than one culture, especially, you know, us black Americans, we can definitely have more than one culture or subculture.
Definitely true. So what are the effects of utilizing hip-hop as an ethnicity? What would be the outcome of that?
Well, I like to lead this by definitely some great examples. Let's talk about the world of politics. I'm in Philadelphia, and right here in Philadelphia, there's a political party / organizing movement called Hip Hop Party for the People. They're an actual burgeoning political party who has put people up to actually run for different local offices. And besides doing that, the main thing they do is organizing the youth into marches, programs, building urban farms. And their entire, the way they carry themselves their entire approach at what they do is a hip-hop culture-oriented approach. The way in which they actually, knowing them personally, the way in which they actually carry themselves, what they do and listen to, how they get the word out, you know. They had the Philly Stand Up Youth March on the 17th of this month. And, you know, throughout the entire march, up and down Broad Street, here in Philadelphia, Broad Street is, like, basically the main corridor street that runs north to south for those out there who may not be familiar with Philadelphia. And they marched from basically downtown City Hall all the way up to Broad and Erie, which is like 30, 40 blocks, I believe. I was out there with them. It was great. At each major avenue, there was a stop, and they would had they had speakers and things pre-set up to stop and do demonstrations of breakdancing, demonstrations of youth rapping, and getting a lot of positivity and a lot of, you know, bombastic, a lot of shows of hip-hop culture, you know. And their entire ideology on how to go about stuff is that the young people and the hip-hop generation and the way that they value things and the way they express themselves should be respected and not just something to be observed or to be seen as something to be responded to in a negative way. They really do, they live in it, but when it comes to the young people who are younger than them, who they lead in these programs, they admire what they do, and they make it employable, and they make it a plausible option to actually get work done in the community and in politics and in everything they do. And that's in politics, and that's in community organizing. Then we have such things that are big and is known as Russell Simmons GlobalGrind.com, which is his major media outlet, which is, I mean, basically described as something as a media outlet that expresses things from a hip hop standpoint out to a global world that understands what hip hop culture is. And we hear that term tossed around a lot, hip hop culture, but not so much hip hop ethnicity. So it really is, I believe, impossible to have, to live, and to come from a culture or something without it being your ethnic group. And I think the disconnect in that some people express is because they normally think about the word ethnic group as something that deals with a thousand years of culture or a skin color or a particular phenotype, a particular look. It's far beyond that. As I had read the definition of it, it's definitely something that can be it can be involved in intangible things like the culture you live in, your heritage. When we go back about 40 to 43 years, depending on how people look at New York hip hop, as the entire history of when hip hop was first being called hip hop and being done until now. And I'm 25 and I've been in this culture since I was born, so therefore for me it has generations. For people inside of it, it has generations. People who were born before it and were adults when it came, they picked it up and they kept it going for us. So it has generations in it. It is definitely something that is ethnic to us. And not just black people and poor people in America, but ethnic to people who pick it up. And it draws you in. It isn't just something you listen to.
Definitely attest to that. So what are the five elements of hip hop? Because you mentioned this a little bit earlier, and not everybody might be familiar with this. So what are the five elements of hip hop, and why are they important, especially while you're making this argument?
First, I just want to shout out my man Aquil, who's going to be on with us later on, for definitely putting me up on studying a lot of this knowledge. I'm a very, I love studying history and sociology, so when it came to putting this forward to hip-hop recently, it definitely became a nice flow. So basically, the first and most known element of hip-hop is the MC, who's going to be on the mic, the person who's spitting the lyrics, the person who's getting word and message out. We can definitely hear it, you know. Yeah. And then secondarily is going to be the DJ. The DJ is actually, I mean, from my perspective, I follow the KRS-One-Style perspective. So the DJ was first, the person who was literally hipping and hopping his needle across the actual records back in the 70s. Some say back as far as the 60s, but like I say, it depends on what your historical lineage is in hip-hop or however you look at it. So then there's graffiti. There's a visual art form. And, of course, nowadays it goes far beyond just writing on a wall. But graffiti, urban art, the free expression of people out there, some see it as counterculture, depending on what the message is or how it's done. Some see it as something gangster. But it's really just the basic idea of showing visual display through graffiti and other visual arts. And then you're going to have b-boying, the movement. When those hot beats come on, the people had to get up and start dancing. And the great thing about b-boying and break culture is that it's something that is basically positively derivative of an African culture, of an African and African American culture, where people were doing similar movements for thousands of years and here for decades. And then there's that fifth element that's oftentimes overlooked or left out because it is oftentimes the one that the mainstream hip-hop has left out, which is what most people hear, and that is the knowledge, the culture, and the overstanding. And the knowledge part is it's generally when people are going out and they're looking to learn more about the culture of hip-hop itself, the people that it came from, that includes Black Americans, are going back into Africa, and just generally having knowledge on whatever topic you're spitting out of your mouth, even if it has nothing to do with that. And then there's the culture aspect of the fifth element of hip-hop, and that is what you live. That is what you live, what you look back to in tradition and ritual, and what you're looking to put forward out of the category and the trait to the category of hip-hop. And the last part of the fifth element is overstanding. Overstanding is a word, you know, you hear a lot of quote-unquote conscious folks say, you know, people say, I overstand this, I overstand that. But overstanding is when you get a really good look. Overstanding is less so your actual look or your perspective. Overstanding is a meta-mindset where you step back and you're able to objectively look at a situation. And whether you agree with what's going on in it or not as yourself, you can actually logically assess that situation from any side, like a great debater would, and would actually be able to give more wise, either a more wise opinion on it or be able to approach it from a wiser standpoint, so you're overstanding it.
Definitely.
And those are that's the basis of the elements of hip-hop from how I understand them.
Hey, awesome. So how would you say hip-hop has affected the world?
I can take this directly from something I was just watching something earlier. I'll get the name in a minute because I want to make sure people are able to look up these things. But hip-hop is the first and only culture to basically absorb the world in itself while not particularly having to change around the culture of what's going on in any particular place. Hip-hop is a meta-genre. Hip-hop has become the world's most popular musical genre ever and the most popular culture to be expressed ever. As I was saying before, KRS-One said recently in a lecture that hip-hop, that a large portion of the world's culture, a large portion of the world's population is now living inside, around, or interacting with urban areas. And these urban areas, what's characteristic of them is the nature of the hip-hop culture. That comes from either the original hip-hop culture, which came out of oppression and poverty and Black neighborhoods and Hispanic neighborhoods. So you see the oppression, you see the poverty, but you also see the hope in people's eyes. You see them dancing, breaking, rapping, DJing, and everywhere you go in the world, whether a person speaks English or doesn't like Black people, they sure as hell like hip-hop. And it's interesting. I mean, it's true, though. It's interesting. It's hip-hop is fully global. There's literally not a single... Even the so-called closed-off countries, how we see it in the West, like North Korea. In Pyongyang, in the capital of North Korea, there's some of the world's greatest beatboxers. And right south of them in South Korea, in Seoul, we have some of the world's greatest breakdancers, which is a wild thing in itself, you know. So hip-hop is a global thing. The hip-hop business, aside from the actual arts and culture and the ethnicity of it, the hip-hop business in itself is one of the most booming businesses in the world. I mean, of course, outside the music, which is our topic here, you know, the rappers and the people who aren't rappers who are starting clothing lines based around the ever-changing nature of hip-hop fashion. You know, back when I was a young boy, like in middle school, like back in the early 2000s, back in the late 90s and whatnot, you know, everybody's wearing, you know, the Dickie suits and, like, the big baggy clothes, and we were wearing, like, new era fitted and forces, and people began to put out, if they couldn't put out something that was similar to these clothes, then, of course, these things were marketed through their media, through the music, through the commercials, and people were creating or customizing, you know, Air Force Ones and whatnot, and it's always been this way, you know, from the beginning of the urban American, specifically Black hip-hop culture. You know, it's always been this way, where we're just remixers, customizers, and people who create business out of whatever it is that we're doing at the moment, which happens to be the global culture of hip-hop right now.
Definitely. So how would you say that hip-hop is unique and different from other genres of music?
I'm a very meta-minded person, as my friends, you know. I'm a very metaphysical-minded person. So I like to look at hip-hop. It's not so much the musical genre of hip-hop. It's not so much a genre in and of itself, although there are different ways to categorize that, but a meta-genre. Because hip-hop is it basically goes beyond whatever any individual genre's defining traits are. You can mix together some words from an opera from the 1300s. You can mix together some violin strings from a 1500s classical song, and you can take a song from Daft Punk, and you can put that together and have a DJ scratch it. It could be the greatest hip-hop track ever made and barely have any words on it. Like, you know, you can look at a Kanye West song. Like, you know, Kanye West is, up and down about how people feel about him and other artists like this. I mean, look at the way that his actual production is going and the way that his actual lyrics are going, and then look at the grunge act you could think of. And both of these things are hip-hop. They're both part of the culture. So hip hop is as a musical genre. Hip hop, I actually think about it like most people think about art, that it can be defined in a dictionary, but because of the ever changing nature of it, whatever you do in hip hop, as long as you are of the mindset that you're doing hip hop, is hip hop. The most lyrical song, a cappella, the most poetic, is still hip hop. But the song with the a beat made by Jay Dilla with no words on it, with just some banging, you know, some banging bass on there of the main things that Dilla does, is still hip hop. So hip hop is definitely something that you live and feel, and something that you want to put forth. And people tend to have a view of hip hop as, you know, bombastic beats with a lot of lyricism over it, and you talking about the urban plight of American cities. That is very true for the core of hip hop, because everything has different levels, like an onion. But hip hop in general is far beyond that. It is a genre without boundaries. I don't think hip hop, maybe it'll change name one day, but hip hop as itself will never go anywhere. I mean, especially with the merging of the electronic music world, which is just might be actually rivaling hip hop for the most versatile meta-generic or meta-genre category. But it's beginning with that. We're all beginning to see a blending of the traditional hip-hop
world blending
in the electronic world. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back. And not only will we be back with Esfasi, but we'll be back with Aquil. So, you know, we're going to have two guests on the line breaking it down about this lovely and interesting topic. Lovely commercial break. Let's pay these bills, y'all.
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. So check them out. Visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through TayQueen@Hotmail.com. That's TayQueen@Hotmail.com. Peace and blessings always.
Hey, sorry for that inconvenience, y'all. Had a little technical difficulties going on. But we are back on air live. Frosty, are you on the line?
Indeed.
All right. Aquila, are you on the line?
Hello?
Yes. Sorry for that interruption. I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway. Let's continue to break it down about hip-hop. But first, before we get into that, Aquil, let's introduce Aquil onto the panel. And Aquil, please let my audience know a little bit about you and who you are, what you do, and what you're about.
First I want to say thank you for allowing me on the show, and peace to Frosty on the line.
Thanks.
My name is Quill. I'm a Philadelphia born and raised resident, artist, teacher, lifelong learner. I've been doing hip hop for the last, I want to say, 6 years professionally, but always been a lover of hip hop music and hip hop culture.
Definitely. All right. Awesome. So our next question is pretty much, I mean, I think Frosty went into this a little bit, but I'd like to present it with both of you on the panel. How is hip-hop political? And either of you can answer that.
I'm going to leave it to Quill first. I'll let
hip-hop is political in that It was born out of a situation. I mean, in my observation and opinion, black people have always had a political, objective or position or opposition when it comes to living inside of the United States of America. So it was born out of that, especially if you want to be specific, South Bronx, with poverty and gang war and excessive just homelessness, which much of like what we're seeing right now happening across the United States, and coming together like Afrika Bambaataa, who was still head of the Universal Nation, and G.J. Cool Herc, and getting people to stop gang war and fighting, stop killing each other, and organize and basically come together with peace, love, and unity, and organize like that.
Definitely. All right. Definitely is political. So, all right. Now, I wanted to get into a little bit of this topic because I feel like this is, you can't talk about hip-hop without talking about this aspect of it. So, why was hip-hop and how was hip-hop infiltrated and manipulated?
You want to hop on this, Sequoia? Go ahead. All right, yeah. Okay, I'll just go a little lightly on it. How was hip-hop manipulated and infiltrated?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is interesting as how many different stories can be told about that. So when hip-hop first started, it was something that the mainstream, you know, MTV, the radio, they wanted nothing to do with. And they wanted it gone, because not only was it something that was easy to do in the sense of, like, not needing a bunch of instruments and not needing a bunch of equipment to actually just be hip-hop and do hip-hop, making it an easy attention grabber for their consumers that would normally be listening to the other music that was making money for the companies, corporations, and people who didn't want hip-hop around. But when hip-hop exploded in New York and then out of New York and then began to pop up in places around the world as New Yorkers and people who delved into hip-hop traveled around, they began to see that the profitability from hip-hop was something that was real. And hip-hop was actually minutely global before it was mainstream and before companies jumped onto it, because people were just moving around with hip-hop. There are stories in the late 70s and early 80s about people showing up in Tokyo and Korea who were in the military or not in the military, like having tapes and whatnot, so about different artists from New York. Hip-hop was basically seen as something that could make profit. And in a clearly capitalist nation, the first option is mathematical, so people begin to see that if they were to create a certain kind of hip-hop, or if they were to easily refine a certain kind of hip-hop, that the masses... Yeah. Would be palpable to the masses and are tolerated by the masses, and eventually that would be touted by and sought after by the masses. They could make tons and tons of cash off of it. So I'm gonna let Quill take it off from here, because he usually knows a lot more specifics than this. But the basics is the profit margin and profitability, and to take away the political nature of hip hop, freeing the people by having them inform each other through an easy medium that was also something that would keep young people captivated while informing them. And that's a problem for some people.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely, building off of what Frosty said, it was definitely infiltrated via corporations, it was more so the corporations that are associated with these labels. So, because these labels are not just labels, they are beer companies, they are marketing companies, they are associated television networks, and et cetera. So in my opinion and in my observation, when hip-hop became more, social, political, and it's not just its presence, when artists were saying things that were contrary to the status quo and they were actually, expanding the masses of people, like for example, Public Enemy, a lot of the people that they referenced in their music, a lot of people have never heard of before unless you were in that circle of, NOI or Black Panther Party or things like that. So just expanding the youth knowledge, and not just black people, but white people and people around the world, of these situations, political, social, economic situations. And I think that status quo being the money, the big banks and things like that saw that as a problem. So slowly but surely, the dumbing down, the promotion of criminalization of Black and Spanish-speaking people particularly was promoted, and now we have what we have today.
Definitely.
Well said.
Well said. Definitely. So how is hip-hop misrepresented?
Well, I would say hip-hop is misrepresented because whenever something negative or extreme or just vulgar is in the media and promoted, people will associate it with hip-hop. For instance,
yeah.
I apologize for that. For instance, in sports where players are wearing their way or they you know, have a certain presentation about them, they say, oh, that's hip-hop. Not to say that hip-hop, you know, doesn't have a certain style of clothes, but to say that it's negative, vulgar, or gangster, or criminal. For instance, Miley Cyrus, this whole twerking thing, she's being associated with hip-hop, but to say that strictly hip-hop is a misrepresentation of culture, it's a misrepresentation of the culture to say, oh, that's hip-hop. You can't name anything else. You just name because she's shaking her behind and sticking her tongue out of her mouth. That's hip-hop. So just being misrepresented as negative, vulgar, hyper-sexual, hyper-masculine, and not to say that those things aren't in there, but to say that's the only thing that is the main representation of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Can I hop on that, too?
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Okay. I was sure we go to the next question. Okay, cool. So I second that. Say amen on that one for real. So basically, like everything Akua just said, any idea that let's just start up with that Miley Cyrus twerking thing. And there's an old saying: equality isn't about let me portray myself to be the best I am and only the best I am and leave all the dirt in the shadows. Equality is let me fail and fail just like you. Let me do good and be good. Take me the same. When there are certain things that are characteristic of
you're breaking up, Paul. You're breaking up, Paul. We cannot hear you. Kinda. Keep talking. Nah, you're still breaking up.
I have to move somewhere else.
Yeah, you're going to have to move somewhere else. You know what? We're going to come back to that, and you can, like, come back on that point once you start coming in a little bit more clearer. But we're going to move on to the next question. So why is it that hip-hop is culturally bashed in the mainstream and regularly blamed for these vulgar and violent behaviors? Like, why do we feel that that's going on?
I mean, I would say it's an easy cop out, a scapegoat for the bigger issues that hip hop or hip hop music has cast a light on. For instance, I love how Tupac said, you know, I was born in this world, I didn't make it. You know what I mean? Like the poverty, the criminalization, the excess materialism, all those things were here. All those things are in my opinion, observation American. Like, those things were here.
Yeah.
So to blame hip hop for those issues, those deep rooted issues, is a scapegoat. It's an easy blame. Like, it's like blaming black people.
Irresponsible.
You know. Yeah. Right. So. That's what I would say.
Definitely. All right, Paul, you back on the line?
Come on.
Frosty.
I'm back on the line.
All right. Cool.
Am I crystal clear now?
Yeah. Do you want to finish up what you were saying?
Yeah. I caught the tail end of what the crew was just saying, which was basically a nice, twin to it. So basically, there are things that are characteristic of hip-hop, and there are things that are characteristic of many things that are just like the things in hip-hop. For example, he mentioned the Miley Cyrus twerking phenomenon, which shouldn't be a phenomenon because she wasn't racist, but it is. So, like, basically, you know, the fact that she is obviously a non-hip-hop artist who happens to be doing something that is characteristic in hip-hop videos and culture, which is twerking, as you said, people want to point that out and go, oh, that's hip-hop. But if she was doing something, if she, like, some turntables at a club, you know, just to raise some money for, like some foundation, it probably wouldn't be noted as hip hop. Just as Miley Cyrus, you know, fools around some turntables, and because she appeared there, she made some money for some kids. So when stuff is negative, especially when it's easily simple stuff to point out as negative, that it becomes, oh, that's the hip hop culture. There's one of the perspectives in this country and in this, the entire Western world, really, especially Western Europe, really, is that when something is that hip hop kids and hip hop people, young people in hip hop are basically the new punk. Like back in the 60s and 70s, look at those counterculture punk kids who are anti-establishment. Look at them, they're violent, they're breaking glasses, whatever they're doing. And of course, there's that dark side to every culture. So whatever you live and do, whatever you're doing in that culture, and whatever your forebears in that culture have done, is part of the culture. So up and down. But there is a drastically uneven perspective across the country, especially amongst middle America and above, about what hip-hop is as a genre, and that hip-hop is a culture and ethnicity. And that, inside of that category, the people are living lives and doing grand things far beyond just the 100 or so major artists on the radio who are talking about, you know, like women in bad ways and guns and money and crime and fighting that. And that is, I mean, that's a serious problem. So.
Yeah, definitely. So what are the advantages of viewing hip-hop as more than just a musical genre? Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. So you want to go first?
What are the advantages of viewing hip hop as more than a musical genre?
Okay, from my perspective, I see hip hop as small bubble, all about the music and whatnot, and a much bigger bubble be a culture, and a much bigger bubble than that as an ethnicity that you can actually lobby with. So I think I want to go in that direction. So I think that the advantages to seeing hip hop as an ethnicity, a culture you live in, an actual tangible, categorizable group that you can use to lobby between individuals, between organizations, or even at one point, perhaps with the government as an actual ethnic group, is that it's already a pervasive and accepted culture, meaning that people are living their lives through it, they're making their art forms through it, they're expressing their lingo through it. You know, in some places in the world, a lot of places in the world, from Brazil to Japan, they call, when people talk in a street slang, argot, or other form, Ebonics, they call it hip-hop. He's speaking hip-hop. You know, you can go to some places and they'll just say that.
Yeah,
and the person isn't rapping or doing anything particular. That in itself gives us the power to begin to establish some solid, well, not begin, because it's already happening, to continue establishing solid institutions, whether that be educational, political, whatever else. And they're not calling themselves hip-hop by ethnicity and culture, then they're expressing themselves through it. This is already going on, as I mentioned, Hip Hop Party for the People. And then there's, what's his name? One of the artists from Dead Prez has an entire fitness organization that's based around the culture of hip-hop. So it's already seen as something beyond a musical genre. And if more people were aware of this, then they would also respect the youth who engage themselves in society as hip-hop more and be able to help them and connect to them. So viewing hip-hop as more than a music genre, the number one thing is that the youth of the future. If the youth love hip-hop, and hip-hop has positivity that's not known about it, to further promote the positivity of the hip-hop culture and generation and ethnicity will further support the youth who then become the people, the leaders of the next best free world right after us.
Definitely. All right. I want to take a quick pause to just make sure that everybody has the call-in number, and we will be taking call-in questions. The call number is 917-932-8881. If you're already on the line, you can raise your hand by pressing 1, and we'll know you're on the line and that you have a question. We'll be pausing for a quick Q&A briefly right as we move through the rest of this interview portion. So what are the social, economic, / political ramifications of viewing hip-hop as more than just a musical genre?
Want to answer that one because I'm glad you asked the question, because I was going to go into that kind of. I was going to say, just speaking on an economic basis, hip hop is a $1 billion industry. Hip hop music alone is a $1 billion industry. Not just from the music, but from the clothing sold, and even in what could be positive or negative, beverages that are sold, venues that are opened. all are based around hip-hop music. So, in my opinion, the people that are benefiting from those things economically are not the people that create hip-hop more. So they're people that are outside of the culture. I mean, you have a site like Rap Genius created by a few Ivy League guys who they might have been raised in hip-hop, but they are certainly not black Spanish-speaking people. But they have made a massive profit just off of promoting or posting lyrics and describing them, what they mean. So it's creating industry for people who are not even into the culture or of the culture. So it should definitely be taken serious as a industry. And since it is a industry, it promotes money, it promotes capital, it also promotes business, it promotes culture, it promotes what you want to say, institutions. So all those things be taken seriously and examined and built upon.
So how can we implement hip-hop in a way that can change the current state of the planet for the better?
Sorry, how can we?
How can we implement hip-hop in a way that can change the current state of the planet for the better?
I want to take it from the approach of Dr. Claude Anderson, who wrote a book called Powernomics. And he talks about the idea of establishing this. You can actually use to, basically come together and culture and neighborhood building, as far as community building. So I think that because hip-hop is already active, I mean, I'm no major voice of the voice on it, but it's already happening, which I'm glad about, is that people are taking hip-hop seriously now as something bigger than music, as a culture, something they can lobby behind in politics, something they can put their something that can actually just stand in a casual conversation on a social level, comprehend they mean the culture of hip-hop beyond music, which actually, that's what it is. The outside and inside, as an actual ethnic group. So, what we can do to implement hip-hop better in Eastern
World. You're breaking up.
Your phone's cutting across here.
Yeah, you're breaking up. Would you like to piggyback off that, Iqbal?
Okay. Can you ask the question again? Because I got kind of lost.
It's okay. How can we implement hip-hop in a way that can change the current state of the planet for the better?
Oh, wow. How can we implement hip-hop in a way that can change the planet? And maybe I'm being naive, but I believe that hip-hop is changing the planet for the better. But some of the ways that we can do it is by not just promoting things that we see promoted by the media or mass media, popular media or popular outlets, promoting grassroots or organizations, artists, et cetera, that are you know, doing the work, that are promoting certain types of images that we want to see. Because you can go around the world and people will ask you, oh, you carry guns or you sell drugs, but we saw it in the video. So promoting people that promote us in a maybe not, it doesn't have to be all positive, but an accurate light, not just negative and excessive.
Yeah, one-sided.
Right, exactly. So that would be my my view.
Good point. Am I any clearer now for you?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Can I finish off that last part?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. I was saying the implementing hip-hop in society better to have a better effect on this world is all about organization. So what I mean in that is what's going on now in different political groups, different small media companies, people are basing their ethics, their ideology on hip-hop. And I was saying that in today's world, even in a casual conversation, people will bring up what the background and ideology is of their company or what they're doing in general. And actually, it's hip-hop oriented. And people will understand that now more and more to be more than just based around the music of hip-hop, but the culture, the urban culture of it, the global culture of it, the ideology of knowledge, of dance, of art. And people see that beyond the music, and that means that we're already halfway there because it's a socially accepted culture and norm. So all we have to do is continue to organize whatever we're already doing and either around the ideology of what hip-hop is as a culture or to add that in there to connect with the young people more so we can actually get it done because we need them nothing gets done in the future without your folks' immediate participation or looking at what they actually like and are apt to do.
Okay. Yep, and you broke up at the end. So next question.
I got large right now than Cassidy responding to Kendrick. Yeah, it's true.
You got less bars than 50 Tyson right now, boo. How can we implement hip-hop? Oh, yeah, I already said that. Okay, so any last words or arguments towards reevaluating how we view hip-hop? Anybody, anything that we didn't address during the interview?
I'm going to slide it to the
first. I'm just going to be short and sweet with it. I would say stop looking to popular outlets to promote your culture, because in my opinion, I think our people, we lack knowledge ourselves, so we look to everybody else to tell us who we are, except for looking to ourselves and our communities. I think we have all the answers we need. We just have to look to each other and trust each other, like big brands and big corporations who already have billions and trillions of dollars to promote a certain agenda, like look to each other. Like, there's people, I'm pretty sure there's people in every city, every town that have talent, that have a message that is relevant and punctual to what is going on in your situation. So stop looking at big corporations to promote, you know, what you want to see. Look to, you know, your sisters and brothers that are doing it right around you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I would like to say, being a community organizer and youth advocate and an sort of event creator and person here in Philly, I want to talk about some tangible things that are going on now that could be mimicked in other cities, or that could be strengthened by people who are already doing the same thing in other cities. So on the side of politics, I do want to mention again, HLP or Hip Hop Party for the People. It's at Vote Hip Hop on Twitter. So Hip Hop Party for the People, as I was saying, is an organization here in Philadelphia that's doing big things with the youth under the culture, under the political stance of hip hop and a culture. And some of their members are getting together to actually start their own radio station, and they're going to be doing some attention raising and fundraising for that. So you can just go to Hip Hop. I got my actual. And then when it comes down to community organization, the nature is that not just the youth, of course, but depending on what kind of hip-hop, everyone in the neighborhood, in the urban neighborhood of America loves hip-hop. So when people begin to utilize, you know, block parties and such for more than just like having fun or whatever, you get a chance to pull people together to talk about important issues going on in the community, whether that be crime, drugs, organization, urban farming. Using hip-hop to bring folks together, you know, booking artists, having DJs, you know, break battles. It's something that would draw the people in who wouldn't normally want to come down, understandably, for something that's like politically conscious or whatever else, because people have busy lives and not everybody is tuning into such things quite yet. So using hip-hop as the draw, and at the same time, the other half of the culture is as the educator through that actual culture to give people information on what's going on in their neighborhood and also beyond, in politics and whatever else, in a way that's palpable to their demographic. That's mad important.
All right, awesome. All right, we have a caller on the line, and if you have a call-in question, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. Call in with your comments or questions. We are now taking questions in the Q&A portion. Caller from the 404 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Yeah, my name is Blacksmith, and I'm very involved in hip-hop. I actually wrote a book called I Ain't Perfect, to Take It From Me. I would like to know if there's any way that anybody on the panel could implement hip-hop rights of passage. I came in kind of late, so if you guys addressed that, I apologize. So that's it. That's my question.
What was the question again? Can you speak up a little
anybody,
bit?
If anybody could implement hip-hop rights of passage.
Mm.
You know, like taking rites of passages from back in the day, but, you know, implementing it so that you can.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Quill, I think Farsi just got dropped.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm not familiar with, I might be ignorant, I'm pretty sure I am, but I'm not familiar with anybody that's doing that. I do know some people that are using hip-hop in their lesson plans as far as reaching youth and educationally, but I think that's a great idea. I mean, especially since the youth, hip-hop is what you know, so it would definitely be a great idea to use as a rites of passage program. So that's an awesome idea.
Right. I would start it by just going back to Kemet and then relating that to, Africa Bambaataa,
yes,
and the stuff they were doing. And, you know, you could take it anywhere from there. Just a suggestion for y'all guys to think about. I'm writing a column right now on my, I have a blog called www.black2africa.com, and it's a series that I'm doing. So if you guys get a chance, check it out. And I'll let the next caller take it, y'all let take the next question. Thank y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for calling
Peace.
In. All right. We do have Frosty back on the line. Frosty, you're back. And we do have another caller, a caller from the 267 area code, 267-872. You are live on Conversations with the Queen without Philly in the house. Do you have any comments or questions?
Queen. Ralph from Philly, what's going on?
Peace, brother man.
Big shout out to my homies in Philly, Frosty and Quill.
What's up, man? Oh, what's good, man?
Yeah, I just figured I'd call in just to support y'all brothers. I mean, I'm glad y'all stayed on the show. So, I didn't really have no real question. I just wanted to, call in and support. But I actually just did think of a question when I was calling in. After everything that was being discussed, I wanted to know, since I'm in the business, in the business of hip hop, I would say. So I would say, in terms of the industry, and in terms of how we define hip hop as a culture and as a industry, different from the mainstream, what type of entrepreneurial businesses could people start, especially the youth? What's some different
That's
types of businesses
question.
People?
If I can hop on this, y'all, first real quick. So what kind of businesses can people start under hip-hop that's good for the youth, you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can answer this in a kind of a hybrid way. I'm a big fan of the youth. I mean, that to me really means people who are 25 and under, 18 and under, people who are in their mid-20s and under as the youth and younger, is that we are, everything that we do, especially in large groups, if the house suddenly becomes popular, it becomes the next wave of culture. So I think that whether a person wants to grab turntables and really practice at home their skills as a DJ, an MC, or whatever else, hip-hop offers a person a chance to be free, because hip-hop, if you take it the right way from a business sense, whether you're a promoter creating shows or promoting them, a person who creates or fixes technical equipment that's needed in hip-hop, there are any angle you can look at inside of hip-hop. Hip-hop also includes all of the business options in every single other musical genre and musical-based business type and beyond. Every kind of instrument, because hip-hop is anything. Every kind of venue, anywhere. Every kind of marketing demographic and marketing plot, because hip-hop is loved everywhere. So whatever business angle a person approaches hip-hop culture and hip-hop musical industry from, they have a chance to make it, as long as they organize themselves, they have their head on right, and they are open to listen and learn because of the ever-changing nature of hip-hop culture, music, and ethnicity. So literally every business type, and there's not one you could name, from travel to physics, because hip-hop has mathematics to it. The brother who came on before was talking about ancient Kemet and connecting hip-hop in a way of through rites of passage programs, and that in itself trails back to history, trails back to math and science, the science of what a BPM is, beats per minute and whatnot. And I've been in actual DJs classes where they taught the strict mathematics of how to when and how to cross theater, when and how to change songs, and that in itself can be a business, becoming great at the element of hip hop and in teaching it,
Okay.
All right, cool. I had one more quick question. All this stuff had me thinking about all the stuff that we talk about back in Philly. Because, we talk about, a lot of different stuff while we're out, especially at different events. And I remember a couple of things me and Quill was chopping it up, and I just wanted to get like his perspective, you know, since he's on the air. So yeah, this question is for Quill. In terms of you being an artist, shameless plug right now, he is one of the best artists in the country. Don't let anybody tell you differently. I know he's a humble dude, so he ain't gonna say that. But I'm just saying that
you're
now.
You have to book a show.
But,
go ahead,
Tamia.
Thanks. At the end of the show, I'm up,
that's right. Yeah, got it. But in terms of like you being a hip hop artist that's conscious, like what do you, from your perspective, what is your responsibility as a hip hop artist?
Wow, that's a big question. I would say my responsibility is, and thanks for the compliment, I greatly appreciate it. My responsibility is to shed or create a perspective that I don't see in media. Because I see myself as like Public Enemy said, you know, the CNN of the hood or CNN of our people. So I'm shedding a perspective or a light on things that are not usually promoted or talked about or you know, that light on. So that is my main objective as an artist, and also to push along the culture, not just to be stagnant, but to definitely challenge and help grow, not just artistically, but culturally, ethically. So to challenge, to grow in a way that's not parasitic, but in a way that, you know, will help more people come along and do even better.
Definitely. Awesome.
All right. All right,
I appreciate
it. Thank you
for calling in, Derek.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Peace.
All right. Oh, hold up. D, you got to shout out the business. You got to shout out the business first. You got to let everybody know.
I guess. I mean, I'm not the guest of the show this week, but Ralph from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Actually, Frosty is actually one of my business partners. I'm a travel agent by profession, and my organization is Myatt International Travel Network, Myatt, MA'AT, International Travel Network. That's my Facebook page. You can contact me through Facebook and also through my email address, theinternational.route@gmail.com. Hit me up when you get a chance to, and, you know, definitely support, you know, Brother Quill and Brother Paul Frosty. You know, they're both my peoples. You know, they really good young brothers doing their stuff. I mean, I'm 24 myself. You know, all of them are under 30. So, we definitely doing something out here for you. So, just major props to them.
All right, definitely. All right, definitely check out Ma International on Facebook because, you know, that's how we do. All right, peace, Derek, and thank you for calling in. We do have another caller from Philly. Philly is showing up and showing out right now. 215. Actually, it's 267. But caller from the 267-230. You are live on Conversation with the Queen, Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Peace, peace and blessings. This is Sister Ayo. I want to say peace to Brother S. Frosty. I had the pleasure of meeting him on several occasions. I haven't gotten the chance to be blessed with Brother Quill, but I'm pretty sure eventually in Philly we will run into each other.
No doubt. Peace.
I have a question. How do I get the youth more interested in conscious music? In rapping, you know, because I have a 14-year-old, and his lyrics, you know, he talk about a lot of the things that's going on as far as our community is concerned and as far as, you know, nationwide, as far as the Trayvon Martin issue. So how do I get his friends interested in talking about realistic issues? Like they rap about swagging and swagging this and swagging that, and then they want me to get them into some shows, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. They see my son performing, and they're like, how can we get down with that? And I'm like, you got to get up off that swag. So, like, I'm not promoting that. So how do I get them more into, the, you know, conscious music? Like, my son, he was raised up RBG. So he know what's going on. You know, he know the real. He know who he is. But how do I get this instilled into his homeboys? is the question. Because my son is feeling bad because he's like, Mom, they want to perform. And I'm like, I'm not putting, they're not shucking and jiving. I'm not doing it. So I was like, what can I do?
Oh, may I have a different request?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I think that one of the major things that we need to do, when I say we, I mean anybody who considers themselves not young folk, like in a sense of like teenagers, we need to reassess what conscious means to us and what conscious means to them and what conscious means to the industry.
Yeah.
And then we need, mm-hmm. we need to not as much deny them their ways of expression, their slang. Because, I mean, to be honest, I used to hate the word swag, too, until, you know, like, you know how it goes. You know, you're a little older, and if somebody comes with a new slang, it becomes annoying, you know, swag, swerve, all that stuff. And you're like, whatever. But I realize, we have to realize that that's how they sound. I mean, we sound weird, too. But we say, like, they say it now, too, but we say dope and decent and whatnot in Philly. I think they say it in Boston, too. But, and, like, we sound weird to our elders. So it's about the changing nature of the language of the culture of hip-hop. It's about the changing nature of how people express themselves and why. And there's plenty of conscious music where people are saying swag this and swag that, and they kind of are walking that fine line between glorifying personal material possessions and vice-ful lifestyles while still putting out a special message about the realities of how they live their lives. So they're very conscious of
it. I think Lupe does that really well.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. It's funny. I was going to mention them, too. He, man, this is album. Everybody out there, just take a second. Now when the show is over, Friend of the People, a mixtape by Lupe Fiasco, and the actual title track is featuring Dosage from Philadelphia. But shout out to Dosage, man. He's another conscious artist out there with enough, I wouldn't call it swag, but enough of the young people attractive nature to really get his message across. So we have to reestablish how we see. But we have to reestablish if we become stagnant and solid in our views of what conscious music is and what hip-hop is.
Yeah.
And see if the younger people, 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, if they are open to, is there any message in their music that has any kind of potential for constructive behavior, for productive behavior, even if it does have elements of criminal nature or of misogyny, of things that they've heard have normalized but still want to put forth a very conscious message. So I think it's all about just constantly being open to reestablishing how we factor things in.
Mm-hmm. And if I may piggyback off of what you said for a second, if I may piggyback off of what he said for a quick second, I think it's more about exposure. I feel like, you know, as an artist, as a spoken word artist, especially from a young age, what I spoke about honestly was what I knew. So. What they're speaking about is what they know and what they think is hot and what they think is fly, what they think is cool. So, you as an elder, it's your responsibility to show them that there are other ways of life. And I'm sure you're doing this, especially by your son being around them. You say your son is a very positive hip-hop artist. So just exposing them to different culture, different art, different versions of hip-hop, you know, the more conscious aspects of hip-hop. And I think holistically us as a community, by doing these things, we can encourage and foster not so much necessarily what we believe to be conscious, but a more positive vibration and infusion into the younger generation's understanding of hip-hop.
Right, like it's not an issue as far as the word itself, swag.
Yeah.
It's the demeanor behind it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like when they come at me, it's one thing, because my son, he'll say swag every now and then, but he's swagging consciously. You can't be swagging with your pants hanging down. I'm sorry?
What you just said exactly, like that
word
swag. Right.
I said it's not the word itself. It's the actions behind it, what they bring, you know, by them.
Yeah.
They're not just saying swag. They think swag is having their pants still hanging down and, you know what I'm saying, wearing pants that are, like, really too tight for them to be gentlemen, like, to be young men. So I am teaching them, if they want to listen, if they want to perform, you know, and that's anybody. If I was P. Diddy, he got a certain way he likes things. You know what I'm saying? And if they want to perform behind P. Diddy's name, then they have to do what P. Diddy, you know, basically tell them to do. So it's not, it's like as long as you're around, we're going to do us like an hour of a Black History lesson before we even go into you rapping or whatever, you know, or talk about something that's going, like you can throw it, you can be swagging and throw that in your music, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to, your whole song is swag, swag, swag. What about this swag?
You know what I'm saying?
What I want to know is, besides, you know, trying to beat it in their head about who they are and, you know, their culture and where they truly come from, because a lot of these children think they started out from slavery because that's what they're being taught, you know what I'm saying, in school. So I have to break it down to them and let them know that they're gods and goddesses and kings and queens and, you know what I'm saying, royalty, period. So by breaking it down to them, they looking at me like I got four heads, like I'm crazy. And they looking at my son, and my son's like, what? That's the real. That's the truth right here. And they like, y'all crazy, but yet let me get a show. You know what I'm saying? Book me a show. And I'm like, I can't. Because we trying to do something different with this teenagers and this hip-hop thing. You know what I'm saying? We trying to get the word out. Yeah, you can have fun with it. Have fun with it. Be yourself. Be creative. But throw something in there that's going to stick with these babies, and it's going to be in their psyche because everything is on vibration. So if they hear it in the music and they hear it in the lyrics, they'll start singing it, and it'll be embedded in them. You plant the seed, and a tree will grow. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm going with it. I just need to know, like, where can I take them, you know what I'm saying, so that they can see what I'm saying, you know, about their culture, like, how can I expose them more into who they are because they're not being taught it in school or at home? And these are just like random neighborhood children who are coming to me, and I'm not going to turn them away. But at the same time, how can I help them grow as far as them knowing who they are?
Wow. You know, I have one suggestion. It's funny because Jay-Z, one of the most popular and polarizing artists, he always says, in the Fade to Black, he says, you know, a lot of these artists are afraid to be themselves, and it's very true. Like, I would try to, and not shame them in a way, but ask them, look at all the artists that have longevity that are really getting it. Ask them to research these artists. Ask them to look up who's really getting the money, who really has a long-term career. Because it's not the guys that swag it. It's not the guys that that's promoting the nonsense 24/7. And also, I would, not to shame them, but I would say it's kind of corny to not speak what you really feel and not say what you really think. Like that's more of the coward's way of going. Like, if you're an artist, you're gonna say what you really feel, no matter who has, you know, opinion about it. And also, I would say, I mean, even though it's hard to find because, you know, a lot of these underground events, like, you know, they don't have the excessive marketing, but take them out to shows where artists are performing that they might not be as popular, you know, popular as the mainstream artists, but they have that content, that message, that essence about them. Take them to the events and cultural things like that. And more so than beating them over the head, like you said, it doesn't work. I try it all the time. Just expose them more. And also ask them to do their own research. And a lot of times they'll come back like, oh, I mean, for example, my last point, Kendrick Lamar is seen as a more conscious artist. He's one of the highest selling artists in hip hop today, but he doesn't promote negativity as much as, you know, your Rick Rosses and et cetera, et cetera. But he's the highest selling artist. So that tells me that, you know, if you promote what you really think and what you really feel, that you may have a better chance of being seen and being heard than saying everything everybody else said. You know, I choppers, I sell drugs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you guys very much, and keep doing what you're doing. S. Frost, I'll see you again. You know my son is Raw D.
Yeah.
His mom. So, I'll see you guys around. Thanks a lot. Peace and blessings.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Appreciate you.
Peace. All right. We do have one last caller. One last caller from the 813 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Greetings. Peace and blessings to you, Queen, and to the panel.
Peace.
I'm also a spoken word artist myself. I go by the name The Messenger. because that's what I do. To kind of just add to what you were just saying to the caller, which I hope she's still listening, y'all were hitting it right on the head as I was waiting in queue, and I'm like, well, God, no. You said everything that I was going to say. The other thing I would like to say to the young lady who called is if there is a, which I'm sure there probably is in Philly, a Black History Museum of the sort, you know, take a field trip there and allow the kids to, you know, just kind of look around and see what's going on, because a lot of times, you know, as kids growing up, it's obvious that they pay more attention to what they see, and that sticks with them longer than what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you know, I would suggest to her, you know, take a trip to whatever museum is around that helps to show, you know, what we went through, how we came through, and who we are. And then from there, once that sticks with them, then that will, you know, pique their curiosity to want to learn more. And then what they do from there is they'll learn, they'll find, you know, in their own way on how to incorporate, you know, that which they're learning and the way that they're walking now, and to make it relevant. Because I know for me personally is that everything that I see, there's a message in everything. I'm sure you can relate, Queen, that there's a message in, you know, in everything, because we don't look at things on the surface. And so, therefore, as I see stuff, then I write about it, but I make it relevant for all of my readers, you know, so that way whoever reads it, they, you know, they understand exactly where I'm coming from. Long story short, there were some young men who grew up in my neighborhood. They're about 25 now, and I used to talk to them all the time. And one day a subject matter came up about religion, and I spoke some things to them that they were able to relate to that was happening between them and their parents, you know, the conflict that they was having with this religion. And I was telling them that's what the religion is designed to do. So now you understand exactly what I've been trying to tell you. You know, religion is simply designed to confine and close off your train of thought. So you just stay spiritual and stay real and keep walking the way that you're walking. So that's kind of all that I wanted to say. The show was good, besides the parts that broke up, but it was very good, and I commend you gentlemen and you, Queen, for having this show. Simply put, all we need to do is you know, continue to converse, you know, the way that we are, and just simply put into action, you know, the things that we share with one another, because it's not hard. It's just people seem to think it's hard, you know, because it seems that no one is doing it. And what I like to always tell people is this: if a vision came to you to start something, don't go and try to incorporate four or five others, because the vision was given to you. So you start it, and then the rest of it will fall in line. And that's all that I wanted to say, though. A great show again. Peace and blessings to you all. Queen, I'm going to have to send a note to your page on Facebook, because I tried to send some of my poetry work to your Hotmail account, and for some reason it wasn't going through. So I'll send you a message, though, about that.
All right. Hit me up on Facebook, definitely. All right. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Peace. All right, y'all. The show is winding down, definitely, of course. And I want to just give you guys opportunity to shout out anybody who, you know, you think deserves a nice little shout out, or anybody who you want to big up at this point. You can shout them out real quick.
I just want to shout out a couple of different collectives, organizations, and businesses that are based in Philly but accessible by the world, who are inside the culture of hip-hop and getting things done progressively. There's the Say A Lot Hip-Hop Collective. That's on Twitter, at Say A Lot Hip-Hop, S-E-L-A. You can just search Say A Lot Hip-Hop on Google. There's, once again, a Hip-Hop Party for the People at hiphopparty.info, at Vote Hip-Hop on Twitter. And if y'all could follow me on Twitter at sfrosty215, or just on facebook.com/sfrosty, we can bust it up more, because if people know, I love to chat about things intellectual and learn more about people and see what we can trade.
Yeah, right, definitely. Hey, Quill, any last shout-outs?
Oh, yes. Shout-out to, you know, the Hip Hop Party for the People. Shout-out to Guerrilla Republic. Shout-out to the God Hop Movement. Shout-out to... those are my main shout-outs. That's all I can think of off the top of my head. If I forgot anybody, I apologize. Shout-out to everybody doing it and doing it well and doing it for the greater good of the people and the culture. And also, by the way, you can read, I'm on Facebook. Just type in Aquil84 or Aquil Heyru. Same thing on Twitter, Instagram, et cetera. You can find all my music links there. If you want to email me, you can reach me at ageofaquil, A-G-E, of O-F, Aquil, A-Q-U-I-L, @gmail.com. And pretty much, oh, also, hopefully we'll have an event coming up in Philly where we're talking about hip-hop and lyrics and things like that. So that's something else that the lady that called earlier, she could bring her the youth out, her son and the neighborhood youth out to, you know, basically build and be a part of.
Right, definitely. All right. And thank you both for being on the show. It was a lovely show.
Oh, thank
and
you.
A very interesting one. And I commend you both on the work that you guys are doing. Continue to be positive. Continue to be strong examples of great brothers in the community. So thank you for calling in, and thank you for making a wonderful show.
Thank you for having
All right.
me. Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it. No problem. All right, and shout out real quick to newshop.com. Newshop is the number one cultural place for cultural items. You could definitely go check them out. They have an awesome array of great stores on there. We didn't get to play the commercial, but definitely go check out the number one cultural one-stop shop, newshop.com. All right? And don't forget that we are making that move on September 9th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be premiering our first episode of Conversations with the Queen on blogtalkradio.com/AlimBay. That's blogtalkradio.com/AlimBey. And we will be debuting over there on the 9th. All right, I'm going to take a week off. But before I do, definitely make sure you check out our fan page at Facebook, facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen, and conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. All right, y'all, it's been lovely. I'm going to take it out with some Mos Def hip hop as I feel is appropriate. All right, peace and blessings, y'all.
You see, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, y'all, let's rock this. You see, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on. Bitch is my hammer, bang the world into shape, now let it fall. Huh. My restlessness is my nemesis. It's hard to really chill and sit still. Committed to page, I write around. Sometimes won't finish for days. Screwing out my literature from the large to the miniature. I mathematically add, minister, subtract the wax, selector, will it back. I'm feeling that. Uh-huh. From the core to the perimeter, black. You know the motto. Stay fluid, even in staccato. Full blooded, full throttle. Breathe deep inside the drum hollow. There's the hum, young man, where you from? Brooklyn number one, native son, speaking in the native tongue, I got my eyes on tomorrow. While you still trying to find where it is, I'm on the ad where it lives and dies, violently, silently, shine so vibrantly that I squint and catch his lips, embrace the bass with my dog ink fingertips, used to speak the king's English, but caught a rash on my lips. So now I check just like this. Long range from the baseline. Switch. Move like an apparition. Go to the ground with ammunition. Bow. Move from the gate, boys. Cued on your tape. Putting food on your plate. Many crews can relate. Who choosing your fate? Yo, we went from picking cotton to chain gang line shopping to bebopping to hip hopping. Blue people got the blue chip stock option. Invisible man got the whole world watching. Where you at? I'm high, low, east, west. All over your map. I'm getting big props with this thing called hip hop, where you can either get paid or get shot when your product gets stopped. The fair weather friends flock when your chop position drops and the phone calls. Chill for a minute, let's see who else hot. Snatch yourself spot, don't gas yourself hot. The industry's just a better built cell block, a long way from the shell top. And the bells to L rock, 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 rock.
evidence, an out-of-court settlement, ass-based for liquor, sick without benefits, luxury tenements choking the skyline, it's low-life getting treetop high. Hit is a backwater remedy, bitter and tender memory, a class C felony facing the death penalty. Stimulant and sedative, original repetitive, violently competitive, a school unaccredited. The break beats you get broken with on time and inappropriate hip hop, went from selling crack to smoking it. Medicine for loneliness, remind me of the loneliest and dizzy. Robert the B-boy getting busy, the wartime snapshot. The working man's jackpot, a $2 snack box, so beneath the crack spot, Olympic sponsor of the Black Glock. Gold medalist in the back shot, from the sovereign state of the half-nots, where farmers have trouble with cash crops. An old city like phase two, and I will simply amaze you, praise you, pay you, do whatever you say do, but black, it can't save you.